760 The Quest, your Atlantic Catholic Radio, presents The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey. Now, here's Josh and Allison.
Good morning, and welcome to The Morning Quest, where we help you find joy in the journey. We are so grateful you're with us today. We always love knowing that people are out there and are loving what we're doing. And that is our goal, to bring joy to you all and to share all that's going on here within the Archdiocese. My name is Allison DeLowell, and I am here with Josh Harris. Good morning, Josh.
Good morning, Allison. And we are a skeleton crew over here, so I think I'm going to have to go with the greatest hits and the big guns to make sure we make this a smooth ride, or should I say Jesus makes this a smooth ride. So I'll say, in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary,
full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And you said we have a skeleton crew. Hello. Jesus is right next door to us in the tabernacle.
Yeah, that's true.
We've got all we need.
That's true. What is that phrase? Jesus plus nothing equals everything.
Amen. And you know what, Josh? It's interesting. So this morning, my body woke itself up, which is so nice, at 4 o'clock. You know, when I've talked sometimes in the past about love working out in the morning, and I went and I swam. I was there by 4:20. And truly, what hit me today was, and I've talked about how it's very prayerful when I'm swimming, I'm realizing there's no distractions. You know, when I work out, sometimes or walking, I've got my music on, even if it's praise and worship music. But when you're still and listening, I just was having conversation with the Lord. So what a beautiful way to start the day.
Yeah, that is a good way. You know, for me, I try to hit daily mass before I get here and light up some adoration. And that is, I think, so foundational. You know, I'll get to the middle of the day on a day I don't go to morning mass.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll have to go that evening because I missed or whatever. And I'm just like, what's wrong? Like, something just feels off, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's a reminder for me when I take my medicine daily, you know, you notice it most when you don't take it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? When you're stable and you're moving through the day on your, you know, regular diet or whatever your prescription is, that's one thing, you get acclimated. But then when it's out of the system, all of a sudden I go, wait, something's off. And then I go, oh, wait, I didn't go to mass this morning. It's a pretty, you know, there's a pretty big outlier here. To your point, I think we all have things that really unite us and centralize us in our day, and we notice the difference if that routine is or isn't incorporated into what we're doing.
Oh yeah. And when we let the Lord into all those areas, you know, and again, many parishes have masses at, I think St. Michael the Archangel has mass at 6:30 or 6 a.m. So there are many options.
6:45. I don't know about your, I'm thinking St. Peter Chanel.
It's 6:30, because I know Ash Wednesday in the past, the kids and I have gone before school started. But yeah, there are many parishes that have different masses early on or even later in the day.
Yeah.
And if people can't make it to mass, you know, praying the rosary, listening to the quest, you know, feeding themselves spiritually. They can get us anytime on the app.
Yeah. So, I mean, either, you know, you feel free to go to those 6 a.m. masses if you're having a, you know, really great morning, or you're winding down a really bad night and you need to just press reset. No, I'm just kidding. It's great. And, and then if you want the last chance mass, do you know where the last chance mass is?
No, on weekdays?
No, not weekdays, on Sunday.
Okay, I'm thinking it's Christ the King.
Mm-mm.
No, where is it?
Georgia Tech. Can
really?
You guess what time?
7?
9.
9 o'clock at night?
9 o'clock at
is
night.
Is it open for anybody?
I think so, for the most part.
Oh
yeah,
gosh.
It is. Yeah, I mean, I think obviously primarily students, but my roommate goes. He's a older guy, yeah. Not older guy, but like not in college. architect, great guy, and that is his jam. He loves Father Branson Hip preaching.
Oh, that's awesome! And it's so funny because I was a parishioner at Christ the King years ago when they used to have I think it was a 7 o'clock or 7:30 evening mass. That was nice too, knowing that there was a late option. But now knowing that there is a 9 o'clock option, wow.
9 o'clock. I mean, yeah. I guess you are a very busy person if you're rolling in at nine. But again, my roommate, that's the only mass he wants to go to on Sunday. Father Branson Hip, great preacher. I've got a friend of mine is in a book club with Father Branson leads,
yeah.
And word on the street is that guy reads 100 books a year.
Wow.
Now they're Berenstain Bears, but no.
I used to watch that show with my kids.
Yeah, no. Apparently that's actually true. I've heard that. I don't know how you can possibly do that. I mean, I'm proud with one or two, except when I was in seminary, that was different. But anyway, yeah. Check it out if you are back against the wall looking for a mass Sunday evening.
I am so glad you shared that, Josh. Seriously, 9 p.m. at the Catholic Center at Georgia Tech.
Correct.
Excellent, excellent. Well, we've got a lot of great stuff coming up today. Josh and I are going to be reflecting on this upcoming Sunday's Gospel. Chuck Persner is going to be back, and he is going to be helping us get acquainted with the sainted. Kathleen Lindemann, Director of Adult Evangelization at St. Michael the Archangel, is going to be talking to us and reflecting on how our Lent is going right now. And then she's going to give us more ideas on how we can live out this Lent in a holy and impactful way. And then coming up next, Betsy Orr, founder of Heritage and parishioner at St. Joseph's in Washington, Georgia, is going to be talking about a ministry and service ambassador program that they have at Heritage. It is available for young adults, so you don't want to miss that.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic radio. You're listening to The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey with Josh and Allison.
And, well, no, not and Dave. Dave is... Dave, can you hear me? Okay, no Dave. Well, we have
a
guy.
I can't hear you, actually.
Oh, you can. So, okay, I can't talk behind your back. All right, so we are so happy to have the gospel reading for. No, we're not gospel reading.
We are so happy to have Betsy Orr with us.
Oh, I'm a Dodo. Sorry.
We still love you, Dodo. Betsy Orr, parishioner at St. Joseph's in Washington, Georgia. And again, founder of Heritage and Sharon. Welcome back to the Morning Quest. How are you this morning?
Good morning. I'm doing great. Thank you.
Well, again, this is such a great opportunity for those young adults out there. And I said, we have to have you on to talk about this because I know many, many teens or many young adults are looking for different ways that they can grow in their faith. And what a great opportunity you have for young adults this upcoming fall. So please tell us about the Ministry and Service Ambassador Program at Heritage.
Yes, thank you so much. It is in its first year. Concluding its first year in the next two or three months, and it has been wonderful. It's an opportunity for young adults, ages maybe 21 to about 29, to come to Heritage for a year.
Wow.
And be formed in terms of their work with us, to serve our guests, to serve pilgrims who come to the church, and to receive a specific program. They get to learn at Heritage, live on property, and also be formed through several of our staff members and community members who are dedicated to giving them this enriching Catholic experience. And we have three young adults this year who are so wonderful, two from Georgia, one from Louisiana. And I'm very sad that their time is coming to an end soon because they have brought such a light to our ministry. Mm-hmm. And y'all know how it is when young people who are serious about their faith are involved, light up the mission.
Oh,
and people respond. Yeah, people respond so well to them. So we're in the process of looking for another set of MSAs, as we call them. We're looking for four people to join us at the end of the summer for a year. So thank you for the opportunity to highlight this.
No, it's important. And again, I know with your MSA program there, as well as, when they go on retreats or when they go on, you know, just places out of the country over the summer. When the youth go out there and the young adults go out there and they grow and bring it back. So, I mean, I can't even imagine these three that you have there now, how much they've learned about their faith, you know, and then being there on your property where the first Catholic, you know, folks that came from Maryland, just the history, the rich history of, you know, Georgia, the Catholic faith here, and also business evangelization. I mean, there are so many different gifts that they receive that they can now go out and share with others, you know, as they journey on in their lives.
Yeah,
I think so. Yeah, the location is, of course, so special at Heritage. And so they're absorbing, you know, the history, like you say, yeah. Allison, and that 230-year ancestry that we've got on site. And yet they're participating in what I consider our new evangelization as we reach out to people through the historic properties and the new retreat center. So they're getting a big dose of faith and history and formation all while they're there.
That's really exciting. And so do they live on property or do they live somewhere else?
They do. They live right on the retreat property. We have several houses that are 2-bedroom, 2-bath. So they're right there on site and only about 2 miles from the church. So when they serve our pilgrims coming to the church, they transfer up into the town of Sharon to do that. And then they come and live and spend the majority of their time at the retreat property. And so they're there, you know, for all kinds of needs that we've got, greeting guests. They do tours for us. They wash dishes. They serve meals. They help with programming. They help with pilgrim visits.
Wow.
But it's really convenient to have them. So we built 2 cottages right on site so that they're right there with us.
This sounds to me a lot like the Focus Missionary Blueprint. Is that, do you get that vibe, Betsy?
Yes, very much so. You know, Focus has done a missionary program, and we're just getting started. One difference that we have with ours is students do, or young adults right now don't have to raise any money.
Nice.
Oh,
we have had
great.
Yes, we have generosity from several donors and people who support our mission through the nonprofit. And so we've been able to allow them to come and live on site, receive a stipend, and not have to do any fundraising before they come. So that's a little unique for us. You know, I'm not against them having a little skin in the game and fundraising the way Life Teen and Focus do. I think those are good models. But we're operating off a lot of generous donations right now.
Yes.
So it makes it just a little easier for them to transition into our program.
Well, that would be, for me at least, just looking, I mean, I can see the merits to both, right? On one end, if you're fundraising, you have people on mission with you. They're investing in you and Christ's kingdom. However, I think for me, if I was, you know, going to jump into a program like that, it would be a bit relieving if I did not have to, you know, reach, hit people up and say, hey, will you support me on this, you know, this this journey to, you know, serve God and others, which again, I see the merits to both, but I think it would just be allow me to kind of you know, have a bit of a singleness of purpose. And then also, I'm sure it might allow you guys to maybe have more applicants as well.
I think so. That's our hope, you know, over the next few years as we grow the program, that that particular part of joining our team is attractive to people. You know, fundraising is hard. Even when you're really good at relationships and asking people for things, sometimes it's awkward, right? To ask people to support you monthly or whatever. So as the program grows, we may or may not need for them to do that, but right now they don't need to do it. So it's not a barrier to entry, I would say.
Yeah.
Which is good. Yeah.
Wonderful.
And I love to, Betsy, because, you know, young adults, they might right now be working somewhere, right? And be going, Lord, I just want something different. And what a great opportunity for them to kind of come, kind of retreat with you all, plus dive into everything and gaining work experience. You know, when I was in college, I remember doing internships, you know, with marketing research companies and things like that. And work experience is key. Developing your skills or hands-on project-based learning and immersive experiences at the retreat. So what an opportunity that is to show them if they want to move into some type of ministry going forward.
I think so, too. We're trying to help them, quote unquote, build their resume. And I don't mean just that piece of paper, but I mean their skill set to transfer from Heritage out into the world. And they get an opportunity to work with what I call units discrete projects related to nonprofit management. We have a retail store that we run at the retreat center. We've got some historic preservation projects that need to be done. So they get to select an additional project to work on.
Wow.
Marketing. Some of them are they're helping us produce videos and things like that. So
awesome.
Yes, what y'all are saying is it. We need to help prepare them to launch them into the world.
Fantastic. So let's say someone's listening or a parent is listening and says, my son or I would be great at that. Where can they learn more?
Yes, they can go to our website, heritageGA.org, and type in ministry and service ambassadors. If they can't find it quickly on the website, they certainly can call us, and we would love to give them more information.
Fantastic.
Betsy Orr, parishioner at St. Joseph's in Washington and founder of Heritage, thank you so much for sharing the MSA program with us and our listeners.
Thank you. God bless y'all.
Later on in the show, Chuck Persner is going to be back, and he is going to be helping us get acquainted with the sainted. Kathleen Lindemann, Director of Adult Evangelization at St. Michael the Archangel, is also going to be reflecting on her Lenten journey as we talk about our Lenten journeys. And coming up next, Josh and I are going to be reflecting on this upcoming Sunday's Gospel.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak. Coming up at 10 this morning on AM 1160 The Quest. Join us for more to life.
But now let's return to the Morning Quest on your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
It's 8:19 and we are about to tee off our day the Holy Way once again with a gospel reflection. Allison and I are pinch hitting, but the Lord is with us. So I will just say, a reading from the Gospel of Luke. Jesus took Peter, John, and James and went up a mountain to pray. While he was there praying, his face changed in appearance and his clothing became dazzling white. And behold, two men were conversing with him, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his exodus that he was going to accomplish in Jerusalem. Peter and his companions had been overcome by sleep, but becoming fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As they were about to part from him, Peter said to Jesus, Master, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. But he did not know what he was saying. While he was still speaking, a cloud came and cast a shadow over them, and they became frightened when they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, This is my chosen son. Listen to him. After the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. They fell silent and did not at the time tell anyone what they had seen. Praise to you, Lord
Jesus Christ.
Amen. Well, this is, this is a lot, right? I mean, the mountain in Scripture we see time and time again is this place of a divine encounter.
Yes.
So the mountains, they call that a theophany, right? A place where God is really revealed. And Moses encounters God on Mount Sinai. Elijah hears God's voice on Mount Horeb. And now Jesus takes Peter, James, and John up a mountain, prefiguring another amazing, great revelation, right? But this is going to, even more significant. So Jesus, his prayer leads to a transformation, and his face and clothing radiate divine light. So again, this echoes, we see Moses' face in Exodus 34 shining after he speaks to God. But unlike Moses, Jesus' glory is not reflecting God, but intrinsic, right? Mm-hmm. It is who he is, as he is the source of divine radiance. And we see, this is certainly foreshadowing a resurrection in heavenly glory.
And can you imagine if you were, his two disciples there with him experiencing that? And even at the end, I'm just looking at it, they were frightened when the cloud came upon them. I mean, they were there with Jesus and then they were frightened. So it's very interesting just to see in those cases, right? When we feel Jesus is close to us and maybe if something happens to us that's a little bit makes us uneasy, are we frightened or are we knowing that Jesus is there,
Yeah, if we look in Scripture, there are just time and time again when people have encounters with, angels or these, profound spiritual encounters, the fear is often the first response. Mm-hmm. I remember a priest talking about people look at making angels look like little babies with
little cherubs,
cute little,
yeah.
cute little wings, and yeah, exactly, just like you know something you get at Petland or something.
Or Valentine's Day cards, yeah, right?
But he's like, no, angels are terrifying, strong mm-hmm. creatures, and I think not like. In the most majestic way, yeah. obviously, but I still remember that. I'm like, wow, you're right. I mean, St. Michael, the archangel, mm-hmm. he defeats the devil. He's, you know, I would think he's not, you know, looking like he's on the poster for Huggies or something, but
yes.
he's a rock star of a creature. And so, we get back to the law and the prophets. So this is interesting. Moses represents the law, the Torah, mm-hmm. right? And Elijah represents the prophets, okay? And they are both pointing to Jesus. So you have these two pivotal characters from the Old Testament. They're appearing on the mountain, and they are both, essentially pointing towards and validating that this truly is the Son of God mm-hmm. just by their appearance
yeah.
and endorsement alone, essentially. And appearing in glory confirms that Jesus is really the fulfillment of God's plan. So another thing that's really cool about this, just as Moses led an exodus from slavery, mm-hmm. Jesus is leading the ultimate exodus from the slavery of sin and death into eternal life.
Amen. Praise God for that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, though, that's sometimes like Peter's reaction. You bring up a great point. I mean, he's scared, but he also is like, we should build some tents.
Yeah.
You and, you know, let's go to REI and build some tents. you ever wonder, too, like, how did they know that it was Moses and Elijah? Mm-hmm. I've heard someone say name tags, but I don't know if that's...
Yeah, I don't know.
Joking.
Look at you.
kidding, of course. But Peter misunderstands. And, you know, Jesus is really not establishing an earthly kingdom now. The glory will come through the cross first. I think that is so relatable, though. I mean, when Jesus speaks into our lives mm-hmm. and... You know, we forget there's no resurrection without a cross.
Oh, yes.
And I go, no. I want the cheat code and skip me to the end of this race, and I want the medal. And we forget. We sometimes look at the Lord and we go, I don't know why this is happening. It can't be your plan. But we forget that there's often that pairing. With resurrection comes suffering.
Amen. And I guess that's a good takeaway, right? Knowing yeah. that... enduring our sufferings, there will be a resurrection at the end. Do not give up. Do not lose faith.
Absolutely. The cross is necessary before the crown. And absolutely. Amen.
It is 8:25. I am Allison DeBull. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration's chief counsel resigned Thursday following criticism from pro-life advocates for having defended abortion pills for the Biden administration. According to the Catholic News Agency, Hillary Perkins was a trial lawyer with the Biden administration's Department of Justice and defended access to an abortion pill during a lawsuit against the FDA. Perkins joined the Department of Justice during Trump's first term as a trial attorney at the Consumer Protection Branch and was retained by the Biden administration. Acting FDA General Counsel Sean Kevney had appointed Perkins on Tuesday as part of a reorganization effort by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. The Catholic Vote reported that the Trump Administration Center for Disease Control and Prevention is planning to conduct a study on links between vaccinations and autism. During his address to the joint session of Congress on March 4th, President Donald Trump mentioned the quote, "Not long ago, 1 in 10,000 children had autism, and now it's 1 in 36. A spokesperson for the Department of Health and Human Services told the Catholic Vote that the CDC will leave no stone unturned in its mission to figure out what exactly is happening because the American people expect high-quality research and transparency. Stay tuned. Kathleen Lindemann, Director of Adult Evangelization at St. Michael the Archangel, is going to be back, and she's going to be talking about our Lenten journeys after week one. And then coming up next, Chuck Persner is going to be back, and we're going to be getting acquainted with the sainted.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
This is The Morning Quest.
Finding joy in the journey
with Josh and Allison. Time now to get acquainted with the sainted.
It is 8:31.
Good morning, Chuck.
Good morning, Allison. Good morning, Josh.
Good morning, Chuck. How are you today?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. Lots of energy in the station these days lately. You have a fundraiser coming up, don't you?
We sure do. We have our Spring Pledge Drive.
Spring Pledge Drive. All right. All right.
Community of Hope.
Well, you know, for those of our new listeners, and it feels like we're gaining new listeners every day. Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny when you get out into the community and talk at some of these churches. This is exciting. You know,
it is.
The show is growing in popularity. The station, I think, in large, is growing in popularity. But for those of our new listeners, this is a 3-day pledge drive that will span from the 18th of March to the 20th. We'll have local priests, some of which have probably been on your show. Mm-hmm. You can talk different priests, parishioners talking about some of their ministries. They'll be interviewed, and then they're going to ask you to contribute financially to the station to keep us on the air, keep the lights on, the water running. Yeah, well, you know, but there is no better time to have a Catholic fundraiser during the Lenten season. You know,
yes,
we talk about
almsgiving,
that third leg of the Lenten stool, prayer and fasting. So I know our listeners are going to step up and be generous. And anyway, on to today's somewhat lesser known saint, Louise de Marillac. I should begin by pointing out that her feast day is actually no longer celebrated on March 15th, which is something I learned during my research, would have otherwise been tomorrow, which mm-hmm. is a Saturday. About 9 years ago, it was moved to May 9th. Now, although this is rare, it does happen from time to time. Feast days do get moved. There were those who were promulgating devotion to her, felt that she was just getting lost in the liturgical shuffle in light of the fact that her feast day always fell on Lent. So they moved it to May 9th, which was actually the day of her beatification back in 1920 by Pope Benedict XV.
Ah.
She was canonized 14 years later in 1934 by Pius XI. March 15th was actually the day she entered into eternal life back in the year 1660. But I thought we would honor her original feast day today and just have a conversation around her, because she's a woman with a very compelling story. Born in France in the year August of 1591 on the 12th, Louise was educated by Dominican nuns at an early age. She herself wanted to become a nun, but on the advice of her confessor, she married a man named Antony Legras, who was an official in the Queen's court. And they were married in the year 1613. So here we see a spiritual advisor mm-hmm. giving her the advice that matrimony was her vocation.
Mm-hmm.
And she followed it. Antony would pass away, though, in the year 1625. So they only enjoyed 13 years of marriage together.
Wow.
And shortly after his death, she met a man you both may have heard of, a guy named Vicente Paul, now known as Saint Vincent de Paul.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And he became her spiritual advisor.
My goodness.
Imagine having St. Vincent de Paul.
Wow.
As your spiritual advisor.
Amazing. Yeah.
So in 1633, she set up a training center, of which she was the directress in her own home, for candidates seeking to help her in her work. And this was the beginning of the sisters, or daughters, as St. Vincent preferred, of charity of St. Vincent de Paul. Although the order was actually not formally approved until the year 1655. Mm. This is the early stages of it. And Louise took her vows in the year 1634. She did attract many other candidates to the order as well along the way. She wrote a rule for the community, very important thing to have, your identity, what you stand for, what you believe in, what you live for. And in 1642, Vincent allowed four of the members to take vows.
Wow.
So we see this order starting to gain momentum. Formal approval placed the community under Vincent and his congregation of the missions, with Louise serving as the superior. And she traveled all over France, establishing her sisters in hospitals, orphanages, and other institutions. In fact, by the time of her death in Paris on March 15th, the congregation had more than 40 houses in France.
Wow.
It's another great example of a ministry that just grew in leaps and bounds.
Yes.
Through the hard work and devotion and diligence. Since then, they have spread all over the world, you know, and it's grown bigger and bigger. She was, as I said, canonized by Pope Pius XI in the year 1934 and was declared patroness of social workers by a favorite of ours here at the station, Pope John the 23rd. And that's in the year 1960. Not that long ago, really.
No.
So there we have a very interesting story. A woman who was blessed to have such a great mentor, but it started with her charitable heart.
Yes.
Yeah. And, you know, this is an incredible story that just shows God's plans unfold in his perfect time, right? So, you know, this woman who longed for cloistered life, but was called to marriage instead, motherhood, and eventually the service of the poor in this radical new adventure. So, you know, this perseverance in suffering as well as trust in God's providence really made her, you know, just like a vessel for God's love in the world. It's incredible the thumbprints we can leave behind when we just say yes.
Yeah.
And listen to this quote. Our good God has his time and moments for everything. Do not believe that things will always be as they are now.
Yeah.
And so if you're going through struggles, if you're striving for holiness, if you're doubting, I'm like, keep it up. Just keep moving forward.
Yep. Persevering spirit. Our saints all had it. And it just plays into what Josh had said. You know, all things in God's time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And her collaboration with St. Vincent de Paul as well. It's such a reminder that these, some of the greatest accomplishments of our life, you know, especially for the Lord, are often built in partnership.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? I mean, Jesus himself said, go out in twos.
Yeah. We're meant to be in communion with each other, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We hear that portion in the Mass when they say, when the priest says, gather us into one by the Holy Spirit by way of the Eucharistic table. That's how we're gathered into communion. That's why it's so important to be at Mass on Sunday.
Oh,
never
yes.
mind the fact you're you know, breaking the first commandment.
Mm-hmm.
You just got to be in communion with each other. And that's mm-hmm. how we are in communion with each other. And, you know, even when Jesus sent out the apostles, he sent them out in pairs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is just another good example of that. And, you know, the St. Vincent de Paul Society, I would venture to say every parish here in the Archdiocese of Atlanta has a thriving St. Vincent de Paul
mm-hmm.
Society. They work on Saturdays, probably hundreds of hours a week. These volunteers get together and they just feed people in the community. It's really just amazing to see.
And the mm-hmm. thrift stores, I know there's one in Kennesaw. I think there is one, where, in Atlanta or Tucker area? They've got many St. Vincent de Paul stores.
The one in Kennesaw is quite amazing.
Yes.
You know, it's a woman that I see at daily Mass in the mornings who, from time to time, maybe once or twice a week, mm-hmm. she'll leave right after Mass and she'll go work at that thrift store. And that's a woman who's walking in the footsteps of, like, a St. Louise, mm-hmm. St. Louise de Marillac. And, you know, it's our opportunity to see how we may be able to do that, too.
This is another quote from her, which is really nice. God never showed greater love for his creatures than when he resolved to become man.
Amen. The incarnation.
Yes.
And another quote from her, be diligent in serving the poor, love the poor, honor them as you would honor Christ mm-hmm. himself.
And that plays off of Matthew 25, which we quote scripture from time to time in these segments. I'd venture to say this is the verse that we probably quote more than any other, because in it, our Lord basically gives us the answers to the exam, right? Mm-hmm. We are to clothe the hungry. I said, no, well, we should feed the hungry. We probably shouldn't clothe the hungry, should we now? It would be a difficult thing to do. Feed the hungry, give drink to the thirsty, mm-hmm. welcome the stranger. You know, and these are the things we're called to do if we want to achieve the kingdom of heaven. And,
amen.
It's right there in that verse. And this is a saint who emulates that. And we have so many others who do the same. And they leave, in some instances, a lot of wealth behind. In the case of St. Catherine Drexel or St. Casimir, who we had a chance to talk about earlier in the month, they leave it all behind for the greater things, the kingdom of God.
Well, they know it'll bring them eternal happiness.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a wonderful gift. And again, just a reminder that her Christ, you know, this quote of hers, this really spotlights this Christ-centered vision of charity, that in serving the most vulnerable, we, like you said, Chuck, we encounter Christ himself.
We see them in their eyes. St. Louise de Marillac.
Pray for us.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic radio. You're listening to The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey with Josh and Allison.
Well, we are going to get vulnerable. That's what we call it, right?
Yep, at 8:39, we are going to get vulnerable.
A little early for vulnerability. But we have these interesting table topic cards that Allison pops out every now and then. And this one is, she pulled out, is, it says, but first, actually, before we get there, do you know our verse of the day?
Galatians?
Yep.
Six. I'm looking. It's official. I'm looking and it's Friday. Yeah. Okay. Galatians 6:9. Let us not grow tired of doing good.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
For in due time, we shall reap our harvest if we do not give up. So I think right now, like the first part, not the extra credit, is truly what I'm striving for. Let us not grow tired of doing good, because it can be exhausting sometimes being good. And again, not like I want to be bad, but truly when the Lord pulls you and when he guides you in different areas, it can sometimes exhaust you. You need downtime to replenish.
Yeah. That might lead into this topic
mm-hmm.
really well. It says, what is your favorite way to distract yourself?
From bad habits?
No, just to distract it. Well, no, that's because that'd be just be virtue, you know, like I pray, I serve. That's what give us the good
well,
stuff.
Well, what's on the other side of the card, Josh? What does
that say? Stop yourself from repeatedly thinking about negative events. Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, let's.
Oh, what's your favorite way? I thought it meant like, what's your, like a social media, a traffic light or something like that.
Well, I think it could be. I mean, but what's my favorite way to distract myself?
Oh, that's interesting. Okay. I get that. That's really cool.
If you're
in a downward spiral, what are you going to be thinking or doing in that moment to try to pull your mind out of that rut?
Well, I can tell you this. I have had jobs where I am on the road for a long time. This one I'm not. Mm-hmm. You know, I drive to the station and I go back home. But I have a bad tendency of eating out or just eating random things that I probably should not be eating. Mm-hmm. And so what I don't try to distract myself, but now I'm trying to be more aware of, do I really need this? And I think that's actually tying into my Lent, right? Making myself more aware of what I really need and what I don't need. And stopping and thinking about what I'm going to buy food-wise, or if I'm going to have some peanut M&Ms. Of course, you know, not during Lent as much, right?
No, just random things. You gotta melt the M&Ms and just eat the peanuts.
No, but I kid you not. I don't know if anybody else has that struggle. Again, I was always on the road, and I pack a lunch, and then sometimes I'm like, oh, I want to have something else.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. I think that for me, what's a good way to distract myself? Because it is interesting the power that you have on with your own mind and sometimes, right?
I mean, don't get me wrong.
There's professional resources out there that can help tremendously with mental health. But I've been in a major rut before and then ended up getting into the right conversation with someone or mm-hmm. making some music or doing something creative. And I'm like, wow, that was a powerful antidepressant.
Yeah.
Right. It's interesting sometimes how much just a conversation or a creative outlet or a distraction can redirect our, you know, mental and emotional disposition.
Or even this morning, you know, when my body woke myself up at 4 a.m., mm-hmm. I said to myself, okay, am I going to get up and am I going to go and swim?
And I
was actually, my phone said, you know, has updates, click the updates, and it looked like it was going to take a long time. Mm-hmm. It was like 2 minutes. And I was like, that's it. You know what? I'm going to get up. I'm going to put my bathing suit on. I'm going to go to the gym. I'm going to do my laps. And it was amazing.
Yeah.
So in that choice, I had a choice. Stay sleeping for another hour or so, or get up and do what I really need to do, which makes me feel amazing.
Yeah.
And I'm talking to the Lord as I'm swimming.
Well, it's interesting because... one, exercise is super important. In fact, I think they said that regular exercise can actually be more effective or as effective as antidepressants.
Mm, I'm sure.
And then when people take the medicine and exercise, it's got a very amplified effect for those who actually have something that's diagnosed. Mm-hmm. The other thing that's interesting, though, is I read a study, some of the happiest people in the world serve an average of 100 hours a year, which is about 2 hours a week.
Wow.
And there is a quantifiable intersection between service and happiness.
Absolutely. And I totally believe that. Even if I'm so busy, I don't have time to do this. Why did I say I would? Just do it and you'll be grateful you did.
And hey, by the way, there was a good doctor about 2,000 years ago who made that diagnosis, said, if you want to be the greatest, you must be the least. You must essentially serve the other person, right? There's no greater love than this, to lay down your life for one's friends. And you're my friends if you do what I command. And what are those commandments? To love God and love others. So, hey, if we're reading that good book, Jesus definitely would be fitting us into that service model.
Amen.
Hi, I'm Father John Ricardo. Join me for Christ is the Answer today at noon. But now, let's return to the Morning Quest with Josh and Allison on AM 1160, The Quest.
It is 8:47, and we are so happy to have Kathleen Niman back, Director of Adult Evangelization at St. Michael the Archangel, and we are going to be talking about how our first week of Lent has been going. So welcome back, Kathleen.
Good morning, Josh and Allison. How are you?
We're better now that we're talking to you.
I love it.
Well, we're in our first week of Lent has gone by.
You're our Lent life coach.
Yeah. I don't know about that, but you're my coach, actually. But I don't know how your Lent is going, but if you're anything like me, we've got what, 9 days since Ash Wednesday?
Yeah.
And you're probably thinking, okay, I had all these great things I was going to do. Check, 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 check. But you haven't quite checked the box. So now you're feeling like, oh my gosh, you know, it's already been, you know, 9 days. But good news, we've got 31 more days to go. So wherever you find yourself, it's not too late to put in place your Lenten, you know, practices. Now, I just got back from a little vacation.
Oh, nice.
I went to Florida, and I was with the two most holiest people I know. What great, my brother and his and sister-in-law, Mark and Terry. And they rent a place for a month. And I thought, oh, you know, I've got all these plans for Lent. And, you know, it's really hard when you're kind of, you know, away from your normal practices.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was feeling a little bit tension in my own heart because some of the things I wanted to accomplish my first week were not quite being accomplished. But I kind of let go and let God just kind of guide this past week. And actually, it was even better than if I would have stayed home and done all my Lenten practices.
Beautiful.
Wow.
And that's truly, you know, letting go. So every day we started with Mass. And we went to this little church down in Florida. And it was just amazing how many people were there every single day for Mass. And the message, it just was amazing. Okay, so here's when you really know God's working. A couple weeks ago, the same sister-in-law calls me and says, we're going to start a book group. And she knows people from all over, and you can Zoom and, you know, get the book, and we're all going to get together on Mondays at 6 o'clock, and we're going to do two chapters a week. And I said, okay, yeah, sure, okay, I'll get the book. And so I went on Amazon, and I ordered the book, and the book was not coming. And she said, well, that's okay. Our first meeting will be that Monday that you're down south with us.
Yeah.
So you can read my book. So I read the book. I prepared. Well, it just so happened at this little church, San Marco, in Marco Island, the author of the book was coming to that church on March 11th to do a talk on Jesus and the Jubilee.
Oh,
which
my
is
gosh.
The book that we
wow.
are reading.
Oh my, how divine. Again, wow.
Totally, right? And so I thought to myself, oh my goodness, here I'm giving God my week, which is probably going to be different. And I didn't think it wouldn't be unholy or anything because my brother and sister-in-law are very devout Catholics.
Yeah.
But it took a whole different spin. Mm-hmm. I mean, what are the chances of John Bergsma from Franciscan University being down on a little island in Florida giving a talk on the very same book we are reading?
Wow.
And I just went, Lord, you are all around us. You are so creative, Lord.
What a gift, truly.
Yeah.
Wow. And I bet it made the talk all the more meaningful when you were there.
Oh, it was like going to Disneyland, right? You can't wait to get on that ride. It's a small, small world.
Yeah.
And then you come in and there's all the people there and he's there. And my sister-in-law, Terry, said, oh, let's go get our book signed. I'm like, I'm not really into having books signed and standing in line like a groupie, you know?
Yeah.
But I got the book and I'm like, I'm going to go in line and get my book signed. I mean, it was wonderful, and we learned all about the Jubilee. And so what I want to encourage the listeners, they say that good habits begin with doing something for 21 days. If you can do the same thing 21 days, it becomes, you know, a habit. It becomes like a virtue, a part of your life. Well, we've got 31 days, so you've got 10 more days on top of that.
10 more days to make it.
So, you know, what can we do? And so, you know, to grow in holiness, we need to take that first step towards God. He's always there. He's always ready to receive us. And so all we have to do is take one small step. So I'm just asking your listeners, or, you know, just giving them a challenge. It's called a Lenten challenge, to stop in church in the next week and just walk through the stations of the cross. Mm-hmm. Every church has beautiful stations. Some are ornate. Some are very simple. Look up online. You know, go on your phone. Pull up the stations of the cross and walk through the stations. A lot of times in church, there's nobody there in the church proper, like during the week.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's quiet. And kind of reflect on that. I know probably about 3 weeks ago, I just felt like I wanted to go into the church sanctuary and just kind of sit before the stained glass windows at St. Michael. And I've been a person there for a long time. And the stained glass there is beautiful. And I started saying the rosary, and I looked up, and each of the windows in the church reflect a different mystery of the rosary.
Yes.
And I couldn't believe I didn't know that before, right? You kind of walk past them, oh, that's a pretty one, or that's been dedicated by this family, and you know they have little plaques on the window, but you don't really pay attention. And I thought, oh my gosh, the rosary came so alive.
Yes.
The sun was coming in. I was the only one in the church sanctuary, and I'm looking at these stained glass windows, and I'm praying the joyful mysteries, and it just took on a whole dimension. Mm-hmm. And I think this Lent, we can think about doing kind of things like that. I mean, this is the funniest story. You're going to love it. Remember a couple weeks ago, we talked about putting a big basket in your closet and taking down 40
yes.
things throughout the... Okay, so I have to make a confession. Okay, I haven't done that yet because I was gone. We left right after getting ashes on Ash Wednesday and started driving down. So I haven't done my last 9 days. I got 9 days. I got to take something out of my closet. And I plan to do that again this year. My husband and I do it every year. And on my birthday, which was the 10th of March, my sister-in-law says, let's go shopping. You know, she has a favorite place she wanted to show me. And it is Lent, but this is the time that we're there. And Father Larry said, don't worry about that. Enjoy yourself. Keep your Lenten practices as much as you can. But you need a break to get away from everything, which I totally needed to get the cobwebs out of my head. So
yeah.
It was a great journey. So we come home and I buy a few items. And my brother says to me, okay, well, you're going to put those in the basket, but now you bought 40 more things. And I said, oh my goodness, no,
wow.
That's not true. I did not buy 40 new things so I could replace 40 things. This is still Lent. I bought like
that
three things
funny.
Or six things.
That is so funny.
But you know what? It's just a time to, you know, to really reflect on what we're doing and to keep going. So I want to encourage people to just keep going. You know, pray for a virtue. Pray the stations. Pray the rosary.
Mm-hmm.
Do one decade of the rosary. Do something that you normally don't do and offer that as a Lenten practice. And one of the things that we can do, or I can offer your listeners to do today, is we have the Living Stations of the Cross
yes.
tonight at St. Michael's. And this is our Life Teen group that has been practicing for weeks.
Oh, wow.
And they actually do a live enactment of the Stations of the Cross.
Oh,
the
my.
Whole church is kind of darkened, and they have a spotlight on these kids, and they are totally vulnerable. I mean, they are just
oh,
given
yes.
their
it's amazing.
Hearts. The costumes are beautiful. They're simple, but yet just beautiful for that period in time. And they reenact all of the Stations of the Cross. And that takes place tonight at St. Michael the Archangel in Woodstock at 7 p.m. And if you can get there at 5, we have the fish fry from the Knights of Columbus, which I'm sure many parishes are doing the fish fry. And that's a wonderful thing to be involved in. Don't worry about dinner. Bring your whole family.
Mm-hmm.
They've got everything to eat. And then you just mosey on over down the hall to the beautiful church, St. Michael's Sanctuary, and we'll have the Living Stations.
Wonderful way to, you know, grow in our spiritual walk, going to Living Stations of the Cross and having food beforehand,
yeah.
food and fellowship.
And might I make one other quick suggestion? Is not really a suggestion, but I loved how you talked about we may have these enormous lists for Lent. And it's you look at it and you go, oh boy. And my thought would be maybe just start off and pick what's the one most important thing you think on that list that's going to make you draw nearest to God and say, like, can I at least just stick with this one?
Yes.
This maybe is the non-negotiable. I know there's kind of one on my list as well that has to do with certain amount of time in front of the Blessed Sacrament every day. And so thank you for just reminding us, Kathleen, this is you know, how we can really approach this season with reverence, practicality, and hopefully successful execution.
Amen. Thanks so much, Kathleen Lindemann.
We can do it.
Amen.
Thanks.
So, really quick, guys, if you'll be tuning in next week, remember we got a pledge drive going on. If you love some of the local programs and national programs we share on The Quest, you can check that out Tuesday through Thursday. It is going to be a blast. We love you, and we look forward to seeing you next week. Glory be to the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Have a great day, and may you find joy in the journey.